Chapter 3. Off to Neverland. I open my window all the way and wave frantically. Jonah! Come back! I shout into the night. But Jonah doesn't turn around. No one does. They probably can't hear me. Or they're ignoring me. What is Jonah thinking? I cry, turning back to Mary Rose. I can't believe he would take his friends into a story without me. I need to stop them. Mary Rose peers out the window. I'll go after them, she says. Are you sure? Yes. You've helped me so many times, Abby. It's the least I can do. And it's a good way to test my flying strength. Mary Rose shrinks herself down to Tink size. Then she hops out the window and starts floating toward the group in the distance. But she is not fast enough. I can tell. She's still too weak. Jonah, Isaac, Ben, Peter, and Tink are moving quickly through the sky. We need to catch them. I have to think fast. I turn around and eye the little pile of pixie dust on my dresser. If I'm ever going to try flying, now would be the time. So much more important than getting the air popper. First, I grab a piece of paper off my desk and scribble a quick note to Mom, just in case. Jonah and I are safe, promise. We'll be back as soon as we can. Hopefully, Mom is so miffed that she won't even bother checking on me or Jonah tonight. I'll fly out the window, catch up to Jonah and his friends, and haul them back home in no time at all. Next, I grab a gray hoodie from my closet and put it on over my nightgown in case it's cold up in the sky. Then, I take a pinch of the pixie dust off my dresser and sprinkle it over my head. Here I go, I say out loud. I lift my arms up in the air, ready to fly. But nothing happens. I try flapping my arms like a chicken. My feet remain firmly on the floor. Oh, wait. I'm supposed to think happy thoughts. That's what Peter said, right? And the movie even has a whole song about it. Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Wait, no. Wrong movie. But also happy things. Focus, Abby, focus. I close my eyes. Think happy thoughts. Think happy thoughts. Do not think about Jonah and his annoying friends sneaking out of the house to fly to Neverland without my permission. Do not. But really, how could they do that? I open my eyes. My feet have not moved off the ground. Must think happy thoughts. I close my eyes again and think about cookies. Extra gooey butterscotch ones. And popcorn. And movies. And my friends. Yes, my friends. Frankie. And Robin. Not Penny. Suddenly, I feel my feet lift right off the ground. I open my eyes and gasp. I am floating. In midair. It's working. Raspberry slushies. No, blue raspberry slushies. Rows and rows of books in a library. Sledding, horseback riding, spaceships. Going through my magic mirror. I feel myself rising and rising. I am a human rocket. I lower my head just in time to avoid bonking it on the ceiling. Whee! I say, and soar around the room. I turn on my back, on my side. This is awesome. It's like I'm in the pool, but there's no water. Woof! Prince barks from below me, his tail wagging. He puts his paws up on my dresser, and the rest of the pixie dust lands on his nose. And just like that, Prince lifts off the ground too. Ha! Prince, you're flying! I laugh. I wonder what wonderful thoughts he's thinking of. Belly rubs and liver snaps and playing fetch? In the story of Peter Pan, the kids have a dog named Nana. In the movie, Nana tries to fly, but her leash keeps her grounded. I can't remember if the dog flies in the book. She definitely doesn't go to Neverland. That I'd remember. At first, Prince doesn't seem to realize he's in the air. Then suddenly, his eyes widen and his paws all go in different directions. He whimpers. "Stop thinking happy thoughts," I tell him. "Think about things you hate, like being left alone in the house, and having your leash yanked, and being poked." Prince slowly comes back down to the floor and runs straight under my bed. Apparently, he does not like to fly. "Poor Prince," I say, watching him cowering there. "I guess he won't be joining me on my flight." I fly over to the window. In the light of the full moon, I can see Jonah, Ben, Isaac, Peter, and Tink flying farther and farther away. And Mary Rose, who looks like a small, glittery speck in the sky, is still trying to catch up to them, but not making much progress. I float up over my window ledge, and off I go. I'm flying! Outside! I'm really flying! I'm a bird, I'm a plane, I'm Super Abby! I know I should be grumpy at Jonah, but... Whee! I keep my arms out in front of me. The wind whips my hair back. From way up here, the houses below me look tiny. Gulp. It's one thing to be a few feet off the ground in my bedroom, but now I'm in the sky. And I've never been a big fan of heights. Don't look down. Don't look down. "I'm coming too, Mary Rose," I say, catching up to her. "Sorry I'm so slow," she says, panting. She looks very cute when she's tiny like this. "Why don't I carry you?" I offer, putting my hand out. "Or you can climb into my sweatshirt pocket. You don't mind?" Mary Rose asks. "Of course not." Mary Rose slips into the pocket of my hoodie, her head peeking up above the fold. "Thank you, Abby," she says. "It's cozy in here." "No problem," I say, patting my pocket. Then I look ahead. "Jonah! Isaac! Ben!" I call. Jonah doesn't turn around. Neither do his friends. "Peter! Tink!" I shout. Tink stops and turns around. She heard me. "What is it?" Tink yells to me. "Bring my brother and his friends back!" I holler. Instead of doing that, Tink whispers something to Peter. Then she starts flying back toward me and Mary Rose in a sparkly haze of orange and yellow. When Tink reaches us, she's wearing a smug smile. "So, you two changed your minds about coming to Neverland, huh?" she asks, glancing from me to Mary Rose in my pocket. "No," I say angrily. "I need to stop my brother and his friends." I can't even see Jonah, his friends, or Peter in the distance anymore. "Sorry," Tinkerbell says. "They're already on their way to Neverland." "I guess we're going to Neverland, too," Mary Rose says. "How do we get there?" she asks Tink.
"I suppose you can follow me,"
the other fairy answers, her nose in the air. Tink turns around and soars to the right, and I do, too. Neverland, here we come. We keep going up, up, and up, higher and higher in the sky. It's a little scary, but also super cool. I feel weightless in the air and less scared with Mary Rose in my pocket. Tink flies in front of us, trailing sparkly pixie dust. "I'm annoyed at Jonah for leaving," I tell Mary Rose. "But I have to admit, I'm kind of excited to see Neverland. I've been curious about it ever since my nana read me the book, Peter Pan."
"Can you tell me what the book is about?"
Mary Rose asks. "You don't know it?" I ask. "I thought you knew all the stories." "Some," Mary Rose says, "but not all." Usually I'm telling Jonah the story, but I'm happy to tell Mary Rose now instead. "The story takes place in London," I start.
One night, the three darling kids, Wendy, Michael, and John, were at home when Peter Pan's shadow appeared in their bedroom. It had come loose from Peter, so he flew inside their house to get it back. Just like Peter did in your room, Mary Rose exclaims.
Yep,
I say. Who knew shadows could even come off? Mary Rose comments. Right, I say. Anyway, in the story, Wendy helped Peter get his shadow back, just like I did tonight. Then Peter invited Wendy and her brothers to Neverland, and they said yes. He taught them to fly, and they all flew there. And when they arrived in Neverland, Peter introduced Wendy and her brothers to the Lost Boys. The Lost Boys? Mary Rose repeats. Who are they? As babies, they fell out of their strollers and got lost, I explain. So they needed a new home and somehow ended up in Neverland. Peter became their leader. They had amazing adventures all over the island. Was Peter a lost boy too? Mary Rose asks. I nod. He was the original lost boy, the very first.
Wow,
Mary Rose says. So, I continue as I fly along, Wendy became like a mother to the lost boys. She looked after them.
Did they need protection?
Mary Rose asks worriedly. Is Neverland dangerous?
Well, there is this evil pirate, I say, remembering.
Hook! He's the captain of a pirate ship, the Jolly Roger. He has a whole crew of pirates. He keeps his ship in Neverland all the time because his mission in life is to get revenge on Peter. Mary Rose's eyes widen.
Why? What did Peter do to Hook?
Peter and Hook got into a big fight on the pirate ship, I explain. A sword fight. And Peter cut off Hook's hand and flung it into the sea. A crocodile was passing by in the water
and ate the hand.
Oh, no,
says Mary Rose.
I shiver. Yeah, creepy stuff.
I hope Jonah and his friends don't run into Hook or any crocodiles before we get there. But the crocodile wasn't satisfied with just the hand, I go on. The crocodile wanted more of Hook, all of him.
Yikes,
Mary Rose says. Did the crocodile get him?
No,
I say. See, Hook was wearing a watch on the hand that the crocodile ate. So that watch got inside the croc, too. Every time the crocodile came near, Hook would hear the tick-tock sound of the watch. So that way he could run and hide. He also got a hook to replace his missing hand.
Wow,
Mary Rose says. At least now I know why he's called Hook. What's his real name? Tink glances back at us over her shoulder, and I realize she's been listening to our conversation this whole time.
His first name is James, Tink pipes up, but he won't tell anyone his last name. Apparently, he comes from a fancy British family that he wants to protect.
What else happened in the story? Mary Rose asks me.
There were lots of adventures, I explain, good and bad.
But one day, Hook captured the lost boys and Wendy. He wanted them to walk the plank. Mary Rose whistled.
The plank? That long piece of wood leading from the ship out above the water? The crocodile-infested water?
Yep, I say.
But Peter had a brilliant idea.
Tink pipes up again, glancing back at us.
He hid on the ship and pretended to be a crocodile. He made a tick-tock noise. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Guess what Hook did when he heard it?
What?
Mary Rose asks.
He screamed and closed his eyes, and then Peter knocked him right into the sea, into the real crocodile's waiting mouth.
Ouch! Mary Rose exclaims.
But Hook survived, Tink says, and now he's back to trying to capture Peter every chance he gets.
I shudder. All the more reason to get Jonah and his friends away from Neverland.
So what happened to the darling children? Mary Rose asks. Did Wendy and her brothers ever go home again?
Yep, Tink answers. Peter was so sad that day, especially because the lost boys left, too. The darling parents adopted them all.
Oh, so the story of Peter Pan happened already?
Sometimes I land in the middle of stories, or before they start. In this case, it sounds like the story is over.
Well, that's good, I guess. I can't mess anything up.
Tink wrinkles her nose. That Wendy was such a goody-goody, she adds. I was glad she left. She stole all of Peter's attention.
Suddenly, I remember that in the book, Tinkerbell was super jealous of Wendy. In fact, I think she might have even tried to hurt Wendy at some point.
My back stiffens. Uh-oh. Tink did seem kind of jealous of me when Peter was praising me for finding his shadow. Do I need to keep my guard up around her?
Are there new lost boys? Mary Rose asks Tink.
Tink smiles. There will be. Peter will have Jonah, Isaac, and Ben. They'll be his lost boys now.
No. Negative.
Is she kidding?
I shake my head hard. Not happening, I say. We're leaving the minute I catch up to them.
Tink doesn't respond. Instead, she makes a sharp right. We have no choice but to follow her.
Tink, I say. Peter doesn't think the boys are staying, does he? They're not. They can't.
Tink ignores me and keeps flying. And so do I. We come to a bunch of dark clouds and fly between them. Suddenly, I see a bright gold star shaped like an arrow that's pointing down. Then another arrow, and another. I look down. Wow. I see a huge green island in the middle of a blue sea. There is a shimmering lagoon and lush forests everywhere. That's gorgeous, Mary Rose whispers. It really is.
Welcome to Neverland, Tink says, pointing down. The island has four main regions. The lagoon is on the east side, Dragonland is on the north side, Maze Craze is on the west side, and Peter Pan and I live in the forest in the middle.
I remember the mermaids from the book, but not the dragons and mazes. Things must have changed in Neverland.
And now I have to worry about dragons, too? Not to mention pirates.
Where's the Jolly Roger? I ask.
Not sure, Tink says. Hook moves it around, circling the island.
Great. What's on the south side?
Nothing, just forest. Let's find Peter, Tink exclaims and soars downward.
I follow her, keeping one hand on Mary Rose in my pocket. I'm coming, Jonah.
As we get closer, flying down through the clouds, the weather turns warm and breezy. I can smell coconuts, kind of like sunscreen. I take a big gulp of the fresh air. It's definitely summer in Neverland. The island is so beautiful, it could easily be on a postcard. There are fairy lights in many of the trees, but I don't see any houses. As we fly even lower, I spot trees with huge, glittery green leaves. The colors are so vivid. Even the brown bark of the trees is a sparkly brown. And bright red, yellow, and purple flowers are in bloom all over. I've never been anywhere quite like this before. Not even Oz or Wonderland. But where are Jonah, Ben, and Isaac? I really, really hope they're safe. I can't believe Peter just took them.
Tink stops above the trees, and I come to a stop beside her. We rise and fall in midair like helium balloons.
Tink points down. There are the merpeople in the lagoon. Since the moon is round and bright and shining right over them, I can get a good look.
Whoa! The merpeople all have fish tails, just like the Little Mermaid did.
Yep, I've met her. She's amazing.
Some are swimming, and others are lying on huge slabs of rock. Oh, and there's the Jolly Roger, Tink says, pointing in the other direction. I turn to see a big ship in a harbor with tall black sails and a plank jutting out of its side. I shiver. Hook. Tink turns, pointing north.
The dragons are sleeping now. Normally, you'd see them breathing fire.
Fantastic.
We'll stay away from them, I say.
Watch out for the flying crocodiles, too, Tink says. They're all along the shoreline.
Are you joking? I ask. There are seriously flying crocodiles here?
Jonah will love those. He used to play a game called Flying Crocodile.
Why would I joke about flying crocodiles? Tink asks. They're not funny at all. They're quite scary, in fact.
Uh-oh. Where are my brother and his friends?
I ask.
This way, Tink says,
flying toward a forest of incredibly tall and thick trees.
They remind me of redwoods, the giant trees in Northern California that we visited once on a family trip. Then, down below, I see four people sitting in a circle on the ground.
Four kids?
Four boys? The Lost Boys! My Lost Boys, who I have finally found.